Oh, you're fine.
All right, open your Bibles tonight, please. The book of Matthew, chapter 24. As you remember, we've been, for a few weeks now, we've been talking about, we launched a series of messages really just dealing with prophecy as far as eschatology, actually, which is a big word, just simply means a study of the end times. And really what we're looking at is what happens next. You know, we live in a world, to say the world's a mess, that's an understatement. We know that. You don't have to be someone who watches the news to understand that the world has really drifted far away from God's word and his God's standard as far as in his word and things. And, you know, we live in a culture that wants to redefine things that God has already defined. But yet, when you look in the Bible, the Lord Jesus spoke much, really. He spoke much about, you know, the end times and what happens next. So what we've looked at a couple weeks back, we talked about the Great White Throne Judgment. And to be honest, we had fast-forwarded through quite a bit of, prophecy of eschatology, but we've kind of now backed up to kind of look at it, you know, kind of what's going to happen next. And of course, the topic we chose last Wednesday night is to deal with the rapture. And tonight we're going to preach on this subject, rapture ready. Rapture ready. Are you ready for the rapture? And the Lord Jesus Christ, and as we've said before, the Lord spoke much about the rapture. But as we said last week, the word rapture, and we preface this because to get you to understand something, the word rapture is not in the Bible. And you say, well, preacher, if the rapture is not in the Bible, then why are we talking about the rapture? Well, because the teaching of rapture is in the Bible. Rapture is from a Latin word that when you come in the scripture and you see it, it means to be caught up. It means the catching away. And that teaching is in the New Testament. It's actually throughout the entirety of the Word of God. But it's really fleshed out, as we'll look at in a little while, in 1 Thessalonians when Paul talks about we which are alive remain shall be caught up together with the Lord in the clouds. So the teaching of rapture is in the scripture. And now, according to my understanding and my study of the Word of God as far as eschatology, the end times, the rapture really is the next big event that's going to happen. And you say, well, when will it happen? We don't know, right? We do not know in the authority of the Bible. We do not know when that's going to happen. But we know by scripture that indeed will happen. And it could happen. And here's the amazing thing about the rapture. It could happen any time. I mean, so we're going to look at this and we're going to just say a few things about it. And we'll see what, you know, what God's word has to say. Matthew chapter 24. And let's stand in honor and reverence to the reading of the word of God. And we'll just kind of look at some of these portions of scripture. And I hope it will be of interest to you and really kind of give you a few words as far as by sermon. We'll give you just a few words that really will help kind of explain, you know, what we do with the rapture. What do we do with the study of the rapture? I mean, is it a big deal? Studying the end times, preacher, isn't that a boring thing? Well, no, it really doesn't have to be, because I think it helps us to understand that, you know, really one of the things that studying eschatology does is it really will help us to get even that much greater of an appreciation for the salvation that we have in Christ. We believe in a pre-trib rapture. Our church stands, it's a pre-tribulation rapture. We not only believe that, I deeply believe the Bible supports a pre-trib rapture, and one reason is because the Lord Jesus Christ has saved us from the wrath to come. We're not going to go through the tribulation period, and thank God we won't. But leading up to that, it's going to be bad, and there's going to be some bad things that go on. But as we said before, and Brian prayed for Israel tonight, and we should pray for Israel, but in the context of that, Israel is, Amanda's laughing, Israel is God's time clock. If you want, my wife's laughing, never mind. But if you just keep an eye on Israel, and you'll really kind of, I mean, it's really, you know, and now there are those that believe that God is done with Israel. No, friend, God isn't done with Israel. They're still his chosen nation. But having said that, we're going to start our reading in verse 3 of Matthew 24. The Bible says, and as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world, the age? You come now, we're going to fast forward to verse 36. The Bible says, but of that day, now of course that's talking about Matthew 24:36. We're now talking about the second coming of Christ. Jesus Christ, the first time he came, remember, he's virgin born. He lived a sinless life. He was died on the cross of Calvary. They buried his body. He rose again 3 days later. But Jesus stayed on this earth for a period of 40 days. At the end of that 40-day period, he went back to the Father, and literally, he's been there ever since. Now we're talking about that. Now, I will say there's two parts to the second coming. The first part is the rapture. The second part is the revelation where Jesus will set up his earthly kingdom. But for our study, we're talking about the rapture, the first part of the second coming of Christ. He then says in verse 36, we actually read these verses last week, but I want to dig in a little bit, just say a few thoughts on it. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Jesus is telling us, hey, I'm not going to tell you when I'm going to come back, but I am coming. And only the Father knows when I'm coming. But this is what I will tell you, Jesus says. Here's what some of the signs of my coming will be. We believe, as we said, in the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ. By imminent, we mean that Jesus, the signs of his coming, it points to that Jesus could come back at any moment. He said in verse 38, for as in the days that were before the flood. So now Christ has gone back several thousand years earlier in history, and he's talking about Noah and the flood. For as in the days that were, verse 37, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark. It was just kind of business as usual, right? There was no expectancy. There was no anticipation. There was no urgency. You know, Noah was a man. He was a preacher of righteousness. He was preaching to them, flee from the wrath of God. God's going to judge this world because of sin. God is not, he's not going to tolerate it any longer. But they just kind of went on about their business. They didn't take serious the preaching of Noah. And the Bible says until the day, verse 38, that Noah entered into the ark. You could write right next to verse 38, the judgment of God falls. The judgment of God falls on that world in Noah's day. Verse 39 says, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken. Remember this, we've kind of hit this a little bit. The emphasis is the word taken. The one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Verse 42 is where we draw our title tonight. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. Father, we ask you to bless the reading of your word. May your Holy Spirit, God, be our teacher. May he be our guide. And we'll praise you, Father, for what you're going to do. For it's in Jesus' name I pray, and amen. Thank you. May be seated. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. To say that Jesus Christ is coming again, that's an understatement. We know that. According to the scripture, we know that. Now, when you look at it in the sense of the urgency of this passage, Jesus Christ, to really answer the question that his disciples imposed in the very first verse of scripture we read tonight, they said, Lord, when are you coming? What's the signs? When's going to be the end of the world? When's going to be the end of the age? Jesus then, he begins to go into a lot of thoughts to explain some of the signs of his coming. He said, watch. Keep an eye out. Watch. You know not. Well, you know not hour your Lord doth come. I'm going to come back. The Father is going to send me, and I'm going to come back. So you have to keep an eye out for my coming. In the days of Noah, people could care less. I mean, it's fair to say that in the days of Noah, who Noah was a preacher of righteousness, who preached the glorious gospel of Christ, that a Messiah would come and redeem his people through no doubt the sacrifice of himself, But Noah preached that message. And Noah was a preacher of righteousness and preached that judgment was coming. God was fed up with the sins of mankind. He was done with it. He was fed up. The Bible says it repented God that he had made man. So God, to say he was angry, that's an understatement. You say, well, Pastor, wait a minute. I thought the Bible says that God is a God of love. You're right, it does. Absolutely it does. And let me just say something to you, friend. I thank God that he's a God of love. But it also, the Bible emphatically declares, without hesitation, the Bible declares that he's also a God of wrath. And God, yes, he's love, but you can mark it down. That's why the Bible says, I kind of chopped that sentence off, but I want to say something here. That's why the Bible declares today is the day of salvation. When should a person get saved? Today. When should a person repent and believe the gospel to the saving of their soul? Today. You say, yeah, but Pastor, I'll just do it tomorrow. Here's the only problem with that. Number one, you're not promised another breath. You watching the internet, you're not promised another day. Whoever told you you were promised another day? We don't know when. We don't know when our ticket's going to be called or our name's going to be called. We don't know when death is coming, but you can mark it down. It is coming, friend. And Jesus said, look what he said there in those verses. He said, in the days of Noah, they were just kind of going on business as usual, marrying, eating, and drinking, and giving in marriage. It was business as usual, but they knew not until the flood came. Man, no doubt in my heart, I think that as soon as Jesus said that, perhaps it might have struck horror in the hearts of those listening. Jesus was really driving home the point of urgency. There's an urgency about the second coming of Christ. That's why it's important, ladies and gentlemen, that we tell as many people as we can that there's a Savior in Jesus who'll forgive them of their sin, who'll change their life, who'll take them to heaven when they die, if and only if they'll repent and believe the gospel. You see, you're not going to get to heaven unless you repent. You say, preacher, I'm a good person. Listen, friend, on the authority of Scripture, you may be a good person by comparison of a parallel, kind of horizontal comparison. I'm sure you are a good person. Maybe you say, preacher, we're good people. That you're right. That may be true, but we have to look at it what God says about us. God tells us we're sinners. And because we're sinners, you say, well, how many sins do you got to commit to become a sinner? One. One sin. That's all it takes. You're a sinner. We're a sinner before God. And because of that, we have to be forgiven. And the only way we can be forgiven is to repent and believe in Christ, death, burial, and resurrection. Now, so why is Jesus, what's the big deal about the second coming of Christ? Now, this is interesting to me, and you can study this out for yourself. Jesus will return, and prophecy tells us that. So the return of Christ, he will return prophetically. You know, it has been estimated that one-third of the Bible is about the second coming of Jesus Christ. That's amazing. One-third, they say, one-third of the Bible is about the second coming of Christ. It's also been said that in the Old Testament, there are 1,845 references to the return of Jesus Christ. There are 17 books in the Old Testament that gives it prominence. So 17 books in the Old Testament alone give the second coming of Christ a prominent emphasis. In the 260 chapters of the New Testament, there are 318 references. Or if you will, one out of every 30 verses that speak to the return and of the return of the Lord Jesus. Here's an interesting thought. More space is given to it, the second coming of Christ, than to any other theme, including the death of Christ. For every prophecy on the first coming of Christ, there are 8 prophecies on the second coming of Christ. So in the context of studying this out, it's important that we take a hard look at it. It's important that we take a really strong look at this second coming and really take a hard look on what happens next prophetically? What happens next on God's time clock as far as what's happening as far as eschatology? What's going to happen? We believe the rapture happens next. So the rapture, by definition, meaning the catching away of God's people. Jesus said in Matthew here, so let me give you a few thoughts. You may want to write them down. It may help you as you kind of think about the rapture. When we think about the rapture, there's a few words. I'll just give you just words, a few words here that will help us to understand the rapture here. The first word is really found from verse 42, and it's the word expectation. The word expectation. When you think about the word rapture, the word expectation really encompasses what our mindset should be about the rapture. Last week, we looked in the book of 1 John, where John talks about, and we should, you know, abide in him, that when he shall appear, you may have confidence. And John says, and not be ashamed before him at his appearing. Three words start with the letter A. The first one was the word abide. John says to abide in Christ. Then he says that Christ, that he will appear. That's the second coming of Jesus. But then he made the statement that the word ashamed, that we should not be ashamed before him at his appearing. The word ashamed is the word red-faced, embarrassed. You mean to tell me that there may be believers in Jesus that if Jesus were to come back tonight, that they would be embarrassed by their lifestyle? I think so. And let me just make a point, and I want to make a point of reference here. When I preach this message, you got to understand something, friend. I'm also preaching it to this preacher. I hope you understand that. You say, preacher, are you saying, I pray to God that we'll be serving Jesus, that I'll be serving Jesus. I was talking to a dear friend of mine, a preacher friend of mine, and I'm not going to mention this pastor's name, but many of you know the pastor. If I were to call him out by name tonight, and I just found out that pastor fell. He's no longer pastoring. Pastored a prominent independent Baptist church. Preaching machine. Some of you personally heard him preach. You say, Pastor, why are you telling us that? Because, ladies and gentlemen, it's only by the grace of God any of us have lasted. It's only by the grace of God any of us are still serving Jesus. But when Jesus comes, I pray to God we will not be ashamed before him at his coming. The first word is the word expectation. Jesus said in verse 42, look at the text, watch therefore. Now anytime the word wherefore, therefore, you know this, but anytime if you're reading your Bible and you come to the words wherefore or the words therefore, what the writer has done, he is giving us those words for emphasis. He is wanting to flip us back to the previously established theme or context to why he is stopping us there for a moment. Jesus says, watch therefore. Why, Jesus? The therefore. Okay, I've come to the word therefore. What has he just said? There'll be two in the field. One will be left. The other, one will be left in the field. The other's going to be taken. It's going to be just like the days of Noah before the flood. They were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage. And they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. It's a serious thing to consider the rapture. The word expectation. What shall be the sign? Look at that in verse 3. Remember what he said in verse 3? What shall be the sign? The last sentence, if you will. The last question he imposes in verse 3 of chapter 24, Matthew. What shall be the sign of thy coming, he says. The disciples asked Jesus privately. Why did they ask Jesus privately? Why were they so captivated by the coming of Jesus? Because Jesus Christ, ladies and gentlemen, for 3.5 years, he had had an earthly ministry for 3.5 years. He was baptized by John the Baptist. Then he started his earthly ministry. He called the apostles to himself. He ordains them. And we didn't hit it much in Mark. We're going to come back to it when we finish Mark, because we'll probably do a character study of the 12 apostles. But having said all that, Jesus had spent those 3 years of his earthly life with those disciples, and he had poured into them the understanding that not only was he going to die on the cross, not only was he going to be buried, not only was he going to rise again, he was going to go back to the Father, but Jesus Christ had poured into them that he's going to come back again in the second coming. And they were captivated by this. And they lived in this was the first century. So they're living with an understanding that Jesus is leaving them. And they want to know, wait a minute, Jesus, you're leaving us, but when are you coming again? When are you coming back? Jesus says, I'm not going to tell you. The Father knows. I'm not going to tell you when. We don't know when. But what I will tell you is, you need to look at the signs of my coming. So Jesus wants us to have, there has to be an expectation. That's why Titus said, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. What a tremendous truth when it comes to the rapture. There's an expectation. But secondly, here's another word you can think about when you think of the word rapture, is the word evacuation. Expectation, but the word evacuation. I've already alluded to it, but just for clarity here, in verse 40 and 41, we kind of see this. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, the other left. You say, preacher, what happened to the one that's taken? She's raptured up. She's caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord. You say, come on, preacher. Do you honestly, truly believe that Jesus Christ is going to call us unto himself? Not only do I believe that, more importantly, the Bible teaches it. The Bible declares it, ladies and gentlemen. Over 1,845 verses, I think I said, references in the Old Testament alone to the return of Jesus Christ. 17 books in the Old Testament that give it prominence. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Turn now to the turn to the right in your Bible to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. You say, preacher, I already know these verses. That's great. Well, let's look at them again. Repetition is important for learning. Peter said that in 2 Peter. You can read that for yourself. Some interesting thoughts here. So the word evacuation. Let me just say something to you. This is a biblical principle. If you're born again, this world in which you live, it's not your home. You didn't hear me. This world is not your home. Jesus, listen, friend. Jesus, when he saved you, guess what he did? He now assured that you're going to be in heaven when you die, or if the rapture happens, you're going to be in heaven with him. You say, well, where is that taught in Scripture? John 14. I go to prepare a place for you. Remember, Jesus had already said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Oftentimes in funerals, when I use that verse, I'll say, you know what? Jesus brought an emphasis here. He said, you believe in God, as if to say, you believe in God, that's wonderful that you believe in God. But he then says, very specific emphasis, believe also. Why would Jesus make this statement? He said, believe in God, that's great. He didn't say that's great, but that's my emphasis. He said, but believe also in me. Why would Jesus say that? I'll tell you why Jesus said that. Because Jesus was God in the flesh. See, the Jews believed that there was a God and his name was Jehovah. But what they had a hard time grasping is that Jehovah God now became flesh and dwelt among us. John wrote about it in John chapter 1. John says, the Word became flesh, Jehovah God became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Jesus said, you believe in God? That's wonderful. Believe also in me. Why? He then goes on down in John 14, and Thomas, who's a doubter, says to Jesus, and he says, Jesus, We know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way? Let me give you a great, this is a tremendous verse of scripture. So Thomas asks a question. We know not whether thou goest. How can we know the way? Jesus then speaks into his doubt and his questions. And Jesus says to Thomas, Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man. Did you hear that? No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You want to go to heaven when you die? Here's what I know on the authority of Scripture. You will not go to heaven without Jesus. You will not do it. You will not go to heaven by living a good life. You will not go to heaven by joining a church. You will not go to heaven by giving money to a church. You'll only go to heaven by repenting of your sin and place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and Jesus alone. I was thrilled tonight to hear the prayer request. I think my wife and who was your partner? Miss Rosie, knocking on a door, and it was a boy going into the military. He was a saved young man. His family was Muslim. Is that right? His family was Muslim, so no doubt perhaps he was raised in the Muslim religion. But now he had given his life to Christ. He got born again, and he was praying for his family that they would come to know Christ as their Savior. He said, preacher, wait a minute. Aren't all religions the same? No, friend. They're not. Isn't the Muslim religion, the Catholic religion, the Catholic religion, you can fill in the blanks. Isn't it all the same? Aren't there just many ways to God? No. Man will tell you that there are. Man's ideology will tell you that there's a million ways to God. Matter of fact, the Hindus believe that. The Hindus have millions of gods that they worship. But the only problem with that is the Bible absolutely destroys that ideology. There's one God, his name is Jesus, and you have to have him as your Savior if you're going to go to heaven when you die. That's what the Bible teaches. That's what Jesus teaches. Here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, to be honest, if you want to put verses to memory to help you with explaining the rapture, two verses, I'll tell you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 and 17. The Bible says in verse 16, Paul writes to this local church, he said, for the Lord himself shall, underline the word shall. Matter of fact, you're going to underline the word shall four times in these two verses. And in these two verses of Scripture, each time the word shall is mentioned, it gives us a little bit more of an understanding about this evacuation part of the rapture. So the first time the word shall is used, notice the context. Literally, these four times this word is used, there's four predictions made about this evacuation, literally when millions of believers in Christ will be missing from the earth in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the Bible says. The Bible said in verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. So the first part of this evacuation, write the word next to the first, if you're taking notes here, the first time the word shall used, write the word returning next to it. In the context of this evacuation, Paul said, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. So the first part of this evacuation is there's going to be a returning. Jesus Christ is going to return in the clouds to gather his children out of here. You say, preacher, do you honestly, truly believe that that's going to happen? Yeah, I believe it's going to happen. The Bible tells us it's going to happen. Matter of fact, hold your place because I'm going to come right back to it. But go to Acts chapter 1. You know the passage, but just turn real quick. Just turn to the left in your Bible a little bit to Acts chapter 1. We're going to look at chapter 1, then we're going to go to chapter 2. So in chapter 1, verse 1 says, the former treaties, Acts chapter 1, verse 1. The former treaties have been made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. Notice that. He was taken up after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible, literally unmistakable, undeniable proofs, being seen of them 40 days. So automatically, this is telling us about the time he died, was buried, rose again, and after his resurrection, he lived on this earth for 40 days in the resurrected form. And speaking now to those apostles, speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? See, at this point in history, Rome ruled the world. Jesus, during his earthly ministry, of that 3.5-year earthly ministry, Jesus was telling him, and they knew Old Testament prophecy, that a Messiah would come and he would set up his earthly kingdom. He would rule and reign in righteousness. So these disciples, they're captivated. They're thinking, wait a minute. Yes, you're the Messiah, but it says of the Messiah in the Old Testament prophecy that you as the Messiah, you're going to set up your earthly kingdom. They thought Jesus was going to do it right away and wipe out the Roman Empire and put a stop to all their nonsense and all the oppression that they were doing to the Israelites. So they asked Jesus, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Are you going to put us where we need to, where we should be, ruling and reigning? Are you going to do that? Notice Jesus says, it is not, verse 7, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up. Look at that. He was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing into heaven, up into heaven? Notice this is phenomenal. I know we've read a lot of verses tonight, but look at verse number 11 of this passage of Acts chapter 1. This is phenomenal teaching of Scripture. So these angels, they're there, these men of Galilee, they've watched Jesus. Man, can you imagine being there on the Mount of Olives and seeing Jesus going up, see the bottom of his sandals, man, he takes off, he's gone. And all of a sudden these men in white apparel, these angels, angelic messengers say, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing? And then notice what he says to them. Verse 11. You men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? If you have a highlighter or a pen, underline the next three words in this passage. This same Jesus. Underline that. That's important. You see, in the rapture, Jesus isn't sending an angel to get his children. He's not sending a messenger. He's not sending an Old Testament prophet. He's not sending Elijah. He's not sending Moses. He's not sending David. He's coming himself to get his children. This same Jesus, which is, notice verse 11, taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. The right there in the book of Acts, it's telling us about the rapture. Go now to 1 Thessalonians and we'll finish this portion up of the sermon tonight. So the first shall in verse 16 says the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. There's a returning. The second shall, look at this. The rapture is phenomenal. It's a phenomenal event in Scripture. So the Lord's coming back. And at that moment that Jesus comes back, there's something happening in heaven. So Jesus is returning from heaven. But now there's something going on in the graveyards during the rapture. Look at this. For the Lord himself, verse 16, shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall, underline that again, the dead in Christ, there's a second shall rise first. You see, there's not only a returning, there's a resurrection. The dead in Christ shall rise first. I'm going to end by saying this to you. We'll talk about the other two shalls next week. There's only two ways you can die on the authority of Scripture. There's only two ways you can die. According to this passage, as we emphasis the emphasis on it, Paul said, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Then he says, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. There's only two ways you can die, friend. You can die in your sins, or you can die in Christ. I would highly recommend that you die in Christ. Because if you die in your sins, hell awaits you, judgment awaits you, and the lake of fire will be your final destination. But if you die in Christ, you will, Pastor, let me ask you a question, preacher. How do I die in my sins? Just continue on like you're doing. Continue living your life like there is no God. Continue living your life just like they lived it before the flood came in the days of Noah. Business as usual. Going on partying, eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage. Until the flood came. And they knew not, the Bible says. The Bible, Jesus emphatically said it. In Matthew 24. They knew not until the flood came. But you know the only problem with living like that? With living like there is no judgment coming, when judgment does come, it's too late, friend. That's why today, as we said, today is the day of salvation. Right now. If you're going to get born again, do it now. If you're going to trust Christ, do it now. The dead in Christ, so you can die in your sins, or you can choose the latter, and you can die in Christ. The dead in Christ, the Bible says, shall rise first. What a glorious reunion. You say, preacher, that's going to be kind of a scary thing. Can you imagine working in a graveyard during the rapture? All of a sudden, man, the graves begin to burst open. Bodies begin to shoot up into the heaven. You say, preacher, you think that's literally going to happen? I know it's going to happen because the Bible says it's going to happen. Their spirit's going to be reunited with that body. It's going to be a glorious event. He said, I don't know about you. Listen, friend, we'll talk about next week the return. And as far as we talk about that, we'll talk about a reunion, a glorious reunion it's going to be. What a glorious reunion. We're going to be with the Lord forever. We're going to be with our loved ones that have died in Christ as well. That's why we say to you, and we're so grateful to God for this, death is not, you've heard me say this, if you've heard me say it once, you've heard me say it 20 times in funerals of a believer. Death is not the final chapter in the story. If you know Christ as your Savior, death is not the final chapter, sweet friend. We're going to be reunited in heaven one day, in death or the rapture. We're going to be reunited. What a glorious reunion that's going to be. So which way will you die? Or as we impose the question tonight, are you rapture ready? If the rapture happened tonight, are you 100% certain that you'll go with Jesus when he calls you out? Say, preacher, I don't know if I've ever been born again. Well, if you've never been born again, you're not going. And that's another series of messages. You're going to be left behind. You're going to go through what's called the Great Tribulation Period. It's going to be a horrific, horrific time on this earth. It's going to be, you do not want to die lost. You do not want to be lost when the rapture happens. Maybe tonight you'd like to repent and believe the gospel. We give you an opportunity to do that. Let's all stand, please, for hymn invitation. Brother Brian's going to come and lead us. If the Lord's touched your heart, please respond. Watching by internet, right there in the quietness of your room or wherever you're watching us, please, right now, friend, get rapture ready by repenting and believing the gospel. The gospel is the good news, but specifically, it's the good news concerning the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ the Lord. And if you repent and you believe that gospel to the saving of your soul, God will save you. He'll secure you. He'll seal you into the day of redemption, the Bible says, Ephesians 4:30. You'll go to heaven when you die, and you'll be rapture ready if the call were to come tonight. Maybe you're in this room and say, "Preacher, I don't know Christ as my Savior." I'll be honest. You know, I think sometimes we have an attitude, say, "Well, you know, I'm just going to do my own thing and just go about my own business." Well, when I look at Scripture, that's the same way the people were before the flood came. They had no concern about spiritual matters. They had no concern about Jesus. They had no concern about judgment. It was too late. God forbid anybody would die and go to hell from a Baptist church pew. Don't die and go to hell from a Baptist church. Don't get die and go to hell anyway. Judgment's coming. He's a God of love, yes, but he's a God of wrath. He's a God of judgment. Do not die lost. You come as we sing. What's the number, Brian?
312.